It's a great joy for me tonight to welcome Paul Simpson to the platform. Many years, or a year before, we moved from Cape Town to base ourselves here in the Free State. God spoke to me one night and said to me that I didn't need to go looking for leaders. He had handpicked them for me. And if you're a church leader here tonight, you think, wow, what a great word to get. And one of the very first ones that turned up was Mokgethi Mofokeng. Stand quickly, Mokgethi. Yes, there we go. And many others. And I was overjoyed some 2 years ago when a man much taller than me walked in the back door of this conference to come and check us out. Thank you for putting up with us, Paul. And I thank God so often for you, Shannon. And I watch with absolute amazement and what God's got for you in the years to come. So come and bless us. Sorry to take a bit of your time, but go for it tonight. Love you much. Father God, I pray for this dear man. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we would be his people. Pray for an anointing on him, Lord. That right from the inner man, it would flow like a river.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks so much.
Yeah, lebo, Steve.
Chiga. Evening, everybody. Isn't that why we came here this week, to worship God like we did this evening?
Yeah.
Again, just want to thank the team and all the teams that have served us so amazingly this week. Thank you so much. I was just thinking of a scripture just before I got up from Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah comes into the glory of God, he sees the glory of God. And he cries out and he says, "Woe is me, for I'm lost. For I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I feel a bit like that this evening. I just feel like we've come from the presence of God. And I really pray that this evening that we are aware of his presence as we go. I just want to pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We want to thank you that you're our King. We want to thank you that you lead us. You lead us through the nations, Lord. We love all this talk and all these promises of the nations. And Lord, we've been made so aware this week of our own weakness. Our own inability to do anything. Lord, I pray this evening your grace for us all. That even tonight you would lead us into the purposes you have for us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sure.
Sure.
You sharp tonight, Chiga. Folks, I have something really weighing in my heart this evening. And it's been weighing for a long time. I want to really this evening just address primarily the South Africans who are here. But I believe it's a message for all of us, no matter where we come from. Because so much that is true of our nation is true of the nations of the earth at the moment. But I have a particular burden at this time for our land. You know, I think we're all aware as we've gathered here to worship our King, our nation is really at a key
stage.
Maybe even some of you saw the news today. Our president has just fired 9 cabinet ministers, including our Minister of Finance, which is a big problem for us in South Africa. And so for those of us who love this nation, it's a heavy thing for us. You know, after our bright new dawn of the early
1990s,
it's like our nation has given way to our hopelessness. And a real desperation for most South Africans.
You
might be saying, why is this guy getting so serious this evening? But it's because I believe that God wants to raise up his church at this time in this
land.
For decades, while the evil of apartheid flourished in this land, large sections of the church just remained silent. They gathered every Sunday and praised their God. They read their Bibles every day. Sent their kids to Sunday school. And pretended nothing was happening. Folks, let us not be a church like that. You know, after such a promising start, all that many of us, even many of us here tonight, all that many of us is left with is disappointment and broken dreams. Unemployment, corruption, crime, poverty, racial hatred like we've never seen before. You know, we're facing so many giants at this time. And I don't want us to bury our head in the sand.
Now
many, even here tonight, are asking questions like, where is this all going? How do we fix this mess? What hope do we have? Well, I want us tonight to lift our eyes to Jesus. Lift our eyes to Jesus and his great plan for us, his church. Lift our eyes to Jesus, our only hope, in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation. I believe this evening God wants to encourage us tonight. He wants to encourage us. He wants to motivate us from his word. I want to look at Zechariah chapter 2. If you've got your Bibles, please open it up there.
Chapter 2, verse 1.
Verse 1, 5. All right, while you go there, let me tell you a little bit about where we come into the story of Israel here. As I'm sure you're all aware, Israel, after a glorious start, fell away from God. And God said prophet after prophet to warn his people, and yet they didn't listen. Until eventually, the people of Israel were sent into a captivity in Babylon.
And
for 70 years they served there as slaves.
But in one day,
in one moment, they were set free. And they were free to return back to Jerusalem. And about 50,000 people made the journey back. With promises of God in their heart. To see Jerusalem great again. And so they returned. And they started to rebuild the temple. Sure, you know lots of these stories. But after only 2 years, there was so much infighting and opposition from outside that they stopped building the temple. All the work came to a halt. And for 20 years, nothing happened. People who were trusting God lost faith and just got on with their lives. Israel, a people of promises and the glorious presence, but now frustrated and disappointed. So easy, isn't it, to give up hope when our promises, when our desires aren't met.
And
God's already spoken to us these days about that. About mountains on our road. And challenges that we face. And we, so easy like Israel, can lose faith. Wander off, just get busy living your own little life. But you see, then God sends Hagar. And the work starts again. And shortly after that, he sends Zechariah. And Zechariah's name means the Lord remembers. And he sent Zechariah to lift up the eyes of the Israelites. To the promises of God. To Israel's glorious future, which God had promised. But not only for Israel, but through Israel, that all nations would be blessed. And so Zechariah is successful in what he's doing. The people band together again. And they build. And so there's a series of visions that God gives Zechariah.
And
I want to share with you this evening the third vision he had, a vision that captured my imagination years ago. A promise not only for Israel 2,500 years ago, but for the church today.
Amen.
Can we read Zechariah
2,
verse
1
to
5?
Okay, I'll read English first and you can follow me, my friend. It says this. It says, "And then I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then I said, 'Where are you going?' And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what its width and what is its length. And behold, the angel who talked with me came forward, and another angel came forward to meet him and said to him, he said, run, say to that young man that Jerusalem will be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord. And I'll be the glory in her midst.
Kabuela ka emisa mahlo aka mika bona monna ya tshwereng gwele ya ho lekanya letsohong la ha ya baikiri o ya kae a re honna ke ya lekanya Jerusalema ke tle ke bone na bophara ba yona le bolelele ba yona bo bokae mme bonang lenyeloi le buang le nna latswa mme lenyeloi le leng latla ho le kgatlanyetsa la re ho nna matha o bolelle mohlankana enwa o re Jerusalema o tla ahua jwalo ka naha e phatlaletseng ka baka la bongata ba batho le ba diphoofolo tse ho yona ha e le nna ho bolela Jehova ke tla ba ho yona lerako ya ke tla ba ho yona lerako la mollo leo teetseng hare ke be kganya ya ona hara yo.
Well, Jacob, I'm glad it was you, not me. Folks, about 7 years ago, we planted our first church. I was so excited and so afraid at the same time. I had no idea what we were doing. It was Shannon and myself and another friend of ours, Jongi. And we just said, next month, we're starting a church. And then when we started, we realized, what have we done? We were on our own and we were making it up as we went along. One night I was in bed and God spoke to me. And he said, go to Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. He literally showed me that. And as I read these verses, peace came into my heart. Because I saw in this vision that God is building his church. I saw God's intention for his glorious church. It didn't matter how weak we were, or how inexperienced we were, God was doing something. And there's three incredible promises that God gives us here. Promises to motivate and encourage us. To inspire his church. The first thing, which is so amazing, God says this. He says, He says, I will be. God is personally involved, folks, with what we're doing. He's not sitting off on a cloud somewhere. He's involved with your lives. He's involved with your cell groups. With your kingdom kids work. He's personally involved with your church plants. He's invested everything into it. Isn't that amazing? Because when we look at this board, we get excited, but we get daunted. We should get daunted. Nervous. But God is with us, folks. Personally with us. Not just in the conference. But as we go home. But then he says these three remarkable things. The first promise is this. He says, Jerusalem, the church, shall be inhabited as villages without walls. because of the great number or the multitude of people and livestock.
In
it. Later on, it says that many nations will fill the city. If we jump to Revelation, we're told every nation will fill the city. Our view of the church, folks, is that it has a glorious destiny. No matter what we see here now, no matter how hard and difficult it can be, we know where we're going. Because God has told us where we're going. We believe in a great end time revival. We're not part of some insignificant little group. We are part of God's worldwide church. If you come from a small village and you're a small church in a small village, you have a big family. If you've recently planted a church and you've got 10 people and you don't even like them, but they come anyway, you have a massive family who loves you. Don't always like everyone in your churches. But you see, God's intention that all of us will get caught up together. I do believe God is pleased with the different movements and streams that he sees, but he sees one church. And so we love what God's doing in regions beyond. But he's doing something much bigger that we are a part of. Hallelujah. I was sitting with Ellie at lunchtime.
Ellie Scott.
And he told me something I still can't get my head around. In the city where Claire and him have just planted, there are 35,000 people. And only 6 churches. Ellie estimates it's 500 people in church on a Sunday out of 35,000 people. That's just not right. It's not right, is it? And it's not going to stay that way. Because God has a glorious future for his church. The second amazing promise here is that God says this. He says, I will be to her a wall of fire all around. Church, God is our protection. Without God, we are totally exposed. For the first 5 years of our church plant, it felt like our church was hanging by a thread. Often you get there on a Sunday and you just think, Jesus, is it all going to collapse today? You know what I mean? Don't you feel so vulnerable sometimes if you're a church leader? I'm sure you do. But I took such comfort in this.
That
God is a wall of fire around us.
That
it's God who defines us. He's our protection. You know, I've tried many things for protection. Sometimes we get so excited about our church structure. Our leadership structures.
mofuta wa ketapele ka tsela o ha uang ka yona gore nang
lona. Or even the movements that we're in and what they're doing.
Kapo di movement tse re leng ka go tsona ka tsela eo ba etsang dintho ka tsona.
Sometimes it's so easy to trust in other things, man-made things.
Jwale re a bona ho ba bobebe ho rona gore re tshepe ho duma dintho tse itseng tse iketseditsweng ke batho.
What God promised to us is we don't have to worry about that.
Empa modimo ya re tshepisa gore ga lokela gore ngongoreka tse.
That he will be a wall of fire around.
Empa yena o tla etsa lerako la mollo bakeng sa
rona. As we go from this conference home.
Hore tle ga re tloa se bakeng senana conference yena re ya mo re tswang teng.
As we go to the nations.
Ha re ya di tshabe.
He is a wall of fire.
Yena ke yena lerako la mollo.
No one can touch us. No one can touch us.
Ha ona le manga pa manya tla re ama.
Without God allowing it.
Obane modimo wa rona ke yena tla re sireletse.
But the other thing about this wall of fire.
Empa ntwe ngwe etsa lang ka lebota lena la mollo.
Is that to enter into Jerusalem into the church we come through that wall of fire.
Kore ho go tlo kene ka ha go kireke ka ha go lebota le o la mollo. Ho bolela go tlamea o feta molongwe.
Do you fear God this evening?
Na o tshaba modimo bo tsibumbo.
Do you fear him?
Na wa motshaba.
Because we need to fear God.
Obane ha re tshaba modimo.
God is holy.
Modimo ya halale.
God is so other than ourselves. He's so perfect and righteous.
Modimo pheta hetse o feta ka mo rona re leng ka teng o pheta hetse. O
luki. Are we ever like Isaiah where we just fall on our face and say, "Woe am I?"
Na re tshwana le Isaiah ka tsela ile ya etsa ka yona re. Hantle ntle nna ke ma.
I love to worship. I love to sing and celebrate and enjoy our time. Ke rata ho bina dipina tsa keteko. And we can be light-hearted and we can be joyful and all those things. But our God is an all-consuming fire. And as he builds his church in our generation, he's looking for a holy people. Holy people who are set apart for his work.
I
believe God is talking to us in this day about being a holy people. We love to talk about revival, don't we?
To
trust God for revival. But you know, I believe when revival comes, it's going to be very painful for some of us. Because God's
going
to start with us. And in his grace and in his love and mercy, he's going to purify us. Burn away everything that's not of him.
That
would be set apart for him.
Do
you fear God?
Now, tsaba modimo.
I hope you do. And then the third promise. And I don't even think I know what this means. He promises to be the glory within us. He says, I will be the glory in the midst. Now, we've heard a lot about glory in the last few days. And if I'm honest, it's made me think, do I even know what the glory of God is? But we've heard a bit of what it is. His face, his beauty. Just the amazing presence of God. His radiance shining amongst us. That's his promise to us as his church.
That
he would be the glory in our midst. Folks, we don't glory in anything else.
We're
not to glory in our great plans. In our gifts, in our strategies or structures, how many countries we're in around the world. Let's only glory in God. Let us boast of God amongst
us.
Let his presence in our midst be the most important thing about everything we do. Can we do that? We don't look serious tonight. You know, folks, this is our identity. This is not even something to aspire to so much. This is the promise of God to us. Promising us. This is how it's going to be. This is who you are. You know, we heard this morning that God has saved and called us and sent us to gather the nations. We like that, don't we?
That.
Let's go with the glory of God. Let's go with God burning in our hearts. Let's trust him on who he says we are. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, God is always doing something bigger than we
know.
You know, the Jews had such a small idea of what God was doing. The Jews had such a small idea. God's always doing a bigger thing. And I want to encourage us this evening. Let's lift our eyes from the gloom around us, from some of the despair that many of you are feeling. Let's lift our eyes to the glory of God. Sometimes church life can be tough, can't it? Sometimes church can be boring, can't it? Let's lift our eyes to see the promises of God. What he's promised us. Folks, God is on the move in this generation. We heard from Mark this morning about this being a new season. And I believe Jesus is building his church, folks. One of my favorite scriptures is from Revelation 21 of the rider on the white horse. You know that one? Where Jesus, dressed in white, with the sword out of his mouth, is leading the host of the armies of heaven. Riding through the nations. Claiming what is rightfully his. And he's calling us to join him. Through our weakness. Through our problems, through whatever difficulties you might be facing, he's saying, come and ride with me. So how do we do that? How do we see nations transformed? How do we do that as Regions Beyond? I believe God has called us as a church planting movement. We've been in a season of gathering strength. God has added many to this family. But I agree with Mark. I believe that we are on the verge of multiplication. We're in this nation, but in many nations, we'll see churches being multiplied. But folks, it's going to be at great cost. It will cost us everything we have. You know, as I shared this morning, when we come to Jesus, he doesn't ask us for what we don't have. He asks us for everything that we do have. You know, in that story, he takes the bread and the fish from the disciples. He blesses it. He breaks it. He gives it back to them. He says, go feed them. God is calling us, folks, as regions beyond. To bring him everything we have. He'll take it. He'll bless it. He'll break it. And he'll give it back to us to feed the nations. But it will cost us everything. Who wants to go? Can I tell you a story when I first met Steve? He had far more hair. No, I heard Steve speak in 2005. We were in Cape Town at Jubilee Church, and Steve was sharing in a seminar. I was listening, and he was sharing about his and Heather's story here in Dihlabeng, in
Clarence.
I never met Steve before, and I didn't see him again until 2 years ago. But as Steve sat there and spoke, my heart broke. He shared story after story of the pain that they went through.
Of
crying themselves to sleep at night.
Of betrayal,
financial struggles. And I did something I hadn't done in 10-15 years. I did something I hadn't done for about 15 years. And I wept. Because of some trauma in the early part of my life, I hadn't been able to cry for 20 years. But as I sat and listened to Steve, God broke my heart. And I felt something of the pain that they had been through. And I just wept. It's just snot and tears and just a big puddle of crying. And afterwards, Steve came up to me and he prayed for me. And he prophesied Psalm 126 over me. And my heart broke again. I realized that night, or that day, there's no shortcut to where God's taking us. Whatever great promises you're trusting God for, whatever nations or communities or people that you're trusting God for, you've got to go through the valley before you get there. And it's there that God strengthens us. It's there that he draws near. And we get to know his comfort. It's there we learn his faithfulness. Because he takes us out the other side. So are we prepared as a family of churches to suffer for Jesus? Are we prepared to give up all our comfort? Move far away from friends and family? Give Jesus everything we have. And see what he does with it. I want to plead with you tonight. God has called you to do something like that. Trust him. 100%. Give him everything you have. You will suffer. You will cry tears. But I promise you, it is worth it. There is nothing like living on God. Trusting Him as a wall of fire around you. He is trustworthy. If we ever going to reach the ends of the earth, regions beyond, it's going to take an apostolic people. Not one or two apostles. It's
going
to take all of us to give it up, to give everything up, and follow Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
But you know, as they say, talk is cheap, huh? You heard that? Talk is cheap. And I know we had a conference where many people have not been talking, but have been acting.
Sorry.
We at a place where many people are not just talking, but acting. We have such a legacy amongst us of people who have laid down their lives for Jesus.
Amazing.
Mothers and fathers who've gone before us. People have given up everything. We've just been joined in Harding by Dave and Cynthia Turner.
I don't know where they are.
Just they've been there not even 2 months and they've already had such an impact in our community.
Let's
give them a hand. I don't think I've ever met a couple who live for Jesus as much as they do. It's provoking us in our church. It's amazing. But I want to honor some other people here this evening as well. So amongst us are many people who are doing the exact thing I'm asking you to do. I want you to see them this evening. Is that
right?
So in the last 12 months, since the last time we've gathered here, in South Africa, we've planted 6 churches.
6.
And before we gather again in a year's time, there will be another 7 churches, hopefully, we're trusting, would have been planted. And on top of that, we're running a church planters course where there's 10 people who are coming to be trained so they can go plant churches. Because talk is cheap. So I want to get them up, and I want, when they up, let's give them a massive round of applause. For many of you, these are names you don't know. For many of you, you don't know these people's names. And unfortunately, quite a few are not here because of work and other commitments. So let me go through the list, and then we'll get them up. So maybe every time I read out a name, can we cheer for them? Okay. So we have a church plant, we got planted last year in a place called Mount Frere by Snazo and Dobongwana. Unfortunately, she's not here. Also, 2 weeks ago, we planted in a place called Amzunkulu. An amazing young man called Siyanda Ngwabe planted there 2 weeks ago. Let's give it Siyanda. In January, Pindile Bango planted a church in Mtata. Let's hear it Pindile Bango. Also, about a month ago, Tata Balmani, the most beautiful old man, planted outside Mdantsane, which is a massive township outside East London. Let's hear it for them. And then last year, Nzamo Machobeni, who is here with his wife. Come up, come up. Come. They planted outside King Williamstown. Sorry? King Williamstown.
King Williamstown.
Right, then, coming up in the next 12 months, Pat and Nombini Mbukuku are planting at Willowvale. Come, Pat.
Pat and Libabamba Tote, Hape Hape Mutungumu.
Ow! I forgot Colin and Pam Nichols. Come, Colin, where are you? Colin and Pam and family in
Bloemfontein. Come on.
There's a lovely man who unfortunately is not here, Lungile Spaza. He's just planting a church in the next few months in Graaffreinet. So into the Karoo we go. Let's hear it for Lungile Spaza. Eric Ketani, where are you planting at Kwele Mission? Where's Eric Ketani? Come on. Tata Letsima, where are you planting at Kwele Mission? Come on. Cops and Nkoti, as we all know, have just recently moved to Kwakwa. Unfortunately, they're not here this evening.
Let's hear it for Tom.
Zuko and Cindy Somsocha from King Williamstown. Where are they?
They're
planting another one. This will be Tata Somsocha's third church plant that they've in the last few years. And then finally, Liz Haynes, who is not here, unfortunately, planting at Mkazana in the next few months. Let's hear it for them. Okay, there's just a few more names because I love doing this. Portia Ntintile, come up. She's on our church planners course. Come, Portia.
Ntintile leena othatha mo laba twenza ba kwetlisa.
Kumbi and Notandega, you guys, Kumbi.
Kumbi and Notandega,
also on the church planners course.
Lebona ba ka ga kwetliso yeo.
One of my best friends, Piwa Selema.
Piwa Selema leena. Kiani man,
church planners course. And finally, but by no means least, Nero Jayawardena. Come, Nero. Come forward. Front here, guys. Come stand in front. Everyone can see you. Yeah, it's fine. Take it down. That's great. Take it down. Come forward. Can everyone see them? Come, Kumbe. Okay, take it. Folks, where are you? Chigo, yeah. Folks, I haven't brought these guys up here this evening to lift them up, but to lift Jesus up.
Right?
After last year's conference, Colin and I were talking. And burning in his heart was this issue.
He
says, we can't keep gathering unless we're going to go and do something. Folks, I just want to commend these people to you. Following Jesus. Trusting Jesus. With all they have. And I believe, folks, this is the start of great things for us in this nation and in these nations. That even sitting here, there are many more of you. God's called you to go. Whether to plant or support, to move. I wanted you to see that it's possible tonight. You don't need great education. You don't need millions of rands. Because the glory of God is in our midst. And He's leading us. Hallelujah. Let's give Him one more big hand. Amen. Amen. And I'm not going to give them a chance to preach because they're all preachers and we'll be out till tomorrow morning. So thanks, guys.
I just want to
Hallelujah. Folks, I'm so excited about what God is doing in this nation. I don't watch the news all that much anymore. Keep my eyes on Jesus. Because when it's darkest, the light shines brightest. I believe there's a mantle upon us to plant thousands of churches in this land. Thousands. Trusting God for that. Because if we're going to see a nation transformed, we need thousands of churches to transform a nation. And God started. He started. He's amongst us in great power. I want to encourage you. Give him everything you have. Trust him with everything you have. Tomorrow night when we come to offer our worship with the offering, give him everything you have. Invest in what God is doing. Go home to your churches. Get behind your leaders. Believe in them. Support them. Make their job easy. And trust God for great things wherever you go. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm finished. Amen.